and turn to Psalm 23. The rest of the verses that we'll be using this morning are on your bulletin, on the inner fold, if you'd like to be following along there also. I hope you got the connection. The Lord is good and He's merciful to us. Therefore, let us love one another. Psalm 23. Where we do from time to time pick up on a series on the home, our home, and the title of this morning's message is Parents as Shepherds. Some of the great passages of Scripture are about shepherds and shepherding. One example, obviously, is Psalm 23, but what about John 10 on the Good Shepherd? God is our shepherd in Psalm 23, and the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd in John chapter 10. The Father and Son are shepherds. In fact, in the Bible, shepherding is often used as a picture of leadership. When leadership was bad in Israel, God spoke to the leaders and He called them shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 2, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel, they were the leadership." So shepherding is a word that can be substituted for leadership. God expects leaders on all levels to be good shepherds like unto His Son. The Israeli shepherd, I'm sure you've heard many messages and perhaps Bible lessons on the Israeli shepherd and how the Israeli shepherd led the sheep. And you've probably heard much preaching about shepherding. But I've got to say, when I think about shepherding, I don't think so much of the Israeli shepherd as I think of my father-in-law. He is the flesh and blood shepherd that I know. He wasn't an average farmer. He was a shepherd. Yes, there are some differences between Israeli shepherds and my father-in-law, but they are minimal. Now, difference, parents are in a leadership position. Do we accept that? They're leading their children. So shepherding is quite a good picture for parents to know how they should go about their parenting. The flesh and blood parents, excuse me, that we probably know best are our own individual parents. And so the way they parented us deeply impacts on our lives as parents. But when we consciously think of a model for parenting, we shouldn't necessarily be thinking of our own parents, but we should be thinking of the Lord as our shepherd. The Father and Son are the perfect shepherds. With Father and Son as ultimate shepherds, we're never without role models. Doesn't matter what kind of home you've grown up in, you have good role models to know how to bring up your children. As we consider parents as shepherds, we're going to use Psalm 23 as our main base, but those other two passages I've already mentioned, John chapter 10 and Ezekiel 34, we'll be dipping into those as well. We'll find similar principles of shepherding in all these passages of Scripture that can be well applied to parenting. Now let me say, those Scriptures are not specifically about parenting, but they are about leadership, and they can be well applied to parenting. I want to isolate for you six principles of shepherding that can be applied in your home. The first principle of shepherding to be applied in our homes is parenting style by choice. I mean, choosing your parenting style, that's what I mean. Perhaps I should have used better words. Parenting style by choice, or choosing your parenting style. And what I'm thinking of when I'm talking about choosing your parenting style, what I'm thinking about is shepherding. Our God is a shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is a shepherd by nature, and therefore the ways of our God are shepherding ways. God is the shepherd, and all leaders are under shepherds under Him. If we are a Christian and we have some kind of leadership position, we do as parents, then we're under shepherds, under the great shepherd of the sheep. Ezekiel 34 and verse 1 God is speaking to the leaders of Israel, and he says, and it says, "And a word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel. All leaders are shepherds. So we can choose to be good shepherds under God, or we can choose to be bad shepherds under God. And the shepherds of Israel in the days of Ezekiel were bad shepherds." We'll see how bad as we move through the message. But let's establish, the Lord is a shepherd by nature. We are under shepherds, and we are to follow his shepherding ways. We answer to him. So let's take this on board and set the standard for our homes right here. In our home, shepherding is going to be the model for leadership. Would you affirm that to yourself? In our home, shepherding is going to be the model for leadership. The Lord himself will be the model of our leadership. He is the shepherd. Our parenting style will be a shepherding style. Someone has said, don't be a shepherd if you don't like the smell of sheep. Dad loved the life of a shepherd. He liked being around sheep. He didn't want to be anything else. He continued to shepherd until way past he was able to shepherd. Really, those last years were very hard to watch as he continued to do that which he knew he really had to give up, and he didn't want to. That's the heart of a shepherd. We choose the heart of our shepherds, the heart of a shepherd for our parenting model, to care for the sheep. Why have children if you don't want to shepherd them? Parenting is as selfless an activity as shepherding is. You give your life for the kids just as the shepherd, the good shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. But the mistakes we make in parenting tend to come from a selfish heart. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 particularly speaks to fathers, and it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." There are two ways that either a father or a mother can provoke their children to wrath, and they both come from a selfish heart. First of all, dictatorship, where it is my way or the highway. The parent is not nurturing the sheep. They're on the backs of the sheep for the sake of the parent's own comfort and way. The second selfish way to deal with parenting is apathy, where the parent is distant, disinterested, and not really involved in the lives of their children because they're selfishly involved in something else. It might be career, it might be some hobby or whatever, but something gets in the road of the parenting. Apathy or dictatorship are the two ways to go wrong, and in both cases, it'll provoke children to wrath. And perhaps a word to us men, the same selfish heart that can treat children in that way can treat a wife in the same way, only to be interested in her when we want something, or treating her like the subject of a dictator. Those come from a selfish heart. Shepherding in the home begins with shepherding your wife, men. Ephesians 5 and verse 28 says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." We're to nourish and cherish our wives. We are to choose the selfless life of a shepherd as men. We are to choose the selfless life of a shepherd as parents. We are to choose that selfless life of a shepherd like unto the Lord Jesus. That is our parenting style. The second principle of shepherding to be applied in our homes is teaching to satisfy. Not teaching to know. Teaching to satisfy. Psalm 23 and verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." What are the green pastures and still waters picturing? Well, they're picturing provision of the best food and the best drink. The green pasture, the still water. What is food and drink to our souls? Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Lord himself are those green pastures and those still waters that satisfy the soul. Young people look for fun. They often pray, oh Lord, help us have fun. But what they're really looking for is satisfaction to the soul. What they're really looking for is contentment, green pastures and still waters. The Lord is our shepherd, and the Lord leads us to himself, because it's in himself that we find the soul satisfaction. We find that thorough contentment that permeates to our soul. To know him is indeed green pastures and still waters. A good shepherd will lead the sheep to the best pastures. A good shepherd will provide the best water and the best pastures for his sheep. Dad was strong on pasture improvement. In fact, toward the end of his shepherding days, his farm was featured in a farming magazine as a model of pasture improvement. Dad was strong on good water. Every day he would check the windmills. Every day he would clean those troughs and make sure that there was good water for the sheep. Parents are shepherds. A man is to make sure that there is a daily supply of food and drink for his wife and his children. A mother, dear mothers, are to make sure there is a daily supply of food and drink for their children. It is the Lord where we find soul satisfaction and heart contentment. It is in the Lord himself, but it's through the scripture and it's through prayer that we're able to meet the Lord so that our thirst is quenched and so that our hunger is satisfied. Our hunger is really for him. Daily bread doesn't mean daily crumbs. Thirst-quenching water doesn't mean a sip. As parents, we are to teach the scripture and we're to teach prayer in such a way so that we meet God there. We're not just going through the motions of family devotions, but we're actually meeting with the Lord. It is called family devotions because we're seeking to devote ourselves to the Lord at that time. We're seeking to delight ourselves in him. We just don't teach Bible stories. Yes, of course we teach Bible stories, but we don't just teach Bible stories. We teach soul-satisfying relationship with the Lord. We lead our children to the Lord in salvation, that they might know him. And we lead our children to the Lord that they might grow in him. Listen to the soul satisfaction that is found in Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was satisfied in his God. And when we as parents do not feed our children the word, we don't lead them to that soul satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. It is woe unto us. Ezekiel 34 and verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Woe to us if we don't lead them to soul satisfaction to the Lord. It is a sin against God not to provide the still waters and the green pastures for our children. Providing is a shepherding function. As God provides for us, we provide for our children. The third principle of shepherding to be applied in our homes is knowing your kids. The good shepherd provides and the good shepherd cares. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. Every one of us is different, but the Lord knows how to restore our soul. The idea of the word there is refresh, to strengthen. And perhaps we could use the word encourage. God knows where each one of us is at. and therefore he knows how to encourage us. He knows us and is able to restore our souls. Of the Good Shepherd, John 10 and verse 3 says, "And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Good Shepherd knows us, and because he knows us, he knows how to restore our souls. We need that same kind of care of our children. It is a reckless, careless, wicked shepherd who does not know the sheep, or who does not know how to restore them. Ezekiel 34 and verse 4 says, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Some parents are like those self-centered shepherds of Israel, and they rule with force and cruelty. Some parents make the same mistake as those ignorant shepherds of Israel. Such shepherds with pride say, "I treat all my children the same," when they cannot be treated the same. The weak need strengthening. The sick need healing. The broken need to be bound up. The hurt need to be refreshed, and the wandering need to be found. We should not have favorites, of course. But every child is different. We need to know them and know how to interact with them. We must know them well. The Israeli shepherd knew every marking on his sheep and was able to call his sheep by name. Now, I've got to say, Dad with 1,000 head of sheep did not know every sheep by name. But he knew all the rescued lambs by name. The rescued lambs were, maybe the mother had died in childbirth, or maybe the lamb had got lost from its mother, but it was a lamb that was going to die without help, and the rescued lambs in the early days were brought on horseback back to the homestead, later in the front seat of the Suzuki, and they were brought into the family home. They were put by the fire in those cold months of birthing. They were hand-fed. They were never sold as meat, like the rest of the sheep, and they all had individual names. They were part of the family. But Dad knew all the sheep. He mightn't have known them by name, but he knew them, and he drove round the sheep every day, and every day there was some new problem or issue that he had to deal with. How well do parents, do you know your children? How well, men, do you know your wife? The wives are to be understood. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife." So first of all, men, we are to understand our wives, and then parents together, we are to understand our children. We should know their strengths and their weaknesses. We should know their soul sicknesses and their tendencies. We should know their hurts, their spiritual state. Are they lost? Are they wandering? What is it that is needed to restore their souls? Restoring their souls is shepherding, and knowing our sheep is shepherding. The fourth principle of shepherding to be applied in our homes is modeling the life. Psalm 23 and verse 3. The second part of verse 3 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The Good Shepherd does not force a set of rules. There are rules, of course. But primarily he's not forcing a set of rules on the sheep. The Good Shepherd primarily leads in the ways of righteousness, in the paths of righteousness, to his own glory for his name's sake. Let me read the verse again. It says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The Good Shepherd leads and guides. And another picture of guidance is in verse 4. Right at the end of the verse 4 it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The staff was to guide and to rescue. The guiding and leading function of the shepherd ought to be a comfort for the sheep. And as the children grow, they ought to know that daddy and mummy are good and wise and they're going to guide me. I can trust their advice to me. There should be that kind of relationship as they get older. A selfish parent, of course, will model the opposite of a godly life. They will be demanding on the one hand or distant on the other. It's going to come out either way. God reprimands selfish. He reprimands selfish under shepherds. Ezekiel 34 and verse 5 says, "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." Yeah, there were shepherds, but they weren't good shepherds, and so there were no shepherds at all. No models, no one to go and rescue and care for the sheep. And perhaps this is the major difference between Israeli shepherds and the way Dad shepherded his sheep. Dad herded the sheep, and of course you know Israeli shepherds led the sheep. Dad, the Israeli shepherd went in front, Dad came behind. But when he came behind, it was to make sure that the sheep went the right way. It was a way he had chosen. It was a way that he knew. Even the Israeli shepherd herded some. That's what that rod is about. You know, when the sheep is wandering, he might use the staff to rescue it, but he might use the rod to bring it back in line with the other sheep. But in both cases, the Israeli shepherd and Dad both knew the way. And had travelled the way and made sure the sheep went the right way. Men, you are to lead. You are to be in front spiritually. You are to lead your wife, and both of you together are to lead your children. Verse 3 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." That is your model as men. It's your model as a mother, to lead in paths of righteousness. You've got to be living this. You cannot lead where you have not gone. First, you are to lead your children to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber." If you have not entered the door of salvation yourself as a parent, you can't shepherd your children. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. First, each child is to be led through the door of salvation, and you cannot lead a child through the door of salvation until you've gone through the door of salvation yourself. And then you disciple them, leading them in paths of righteousness. John 10 and verse 3 says, "And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." You may have a great career, but that is not to be the focus of your life. You are to lay down your life in leading your children. You are to lay down your life in loving your wife. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." You must know the satisfaction and contentment of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And you must be able to lead your children to those still waters and green pastures. Part is a teaching function, which we've already mentioned, but part is a leading function as you live the life before them, leading the sheep to the green pastures and the still waters. Ladies, and especially the men, model the life. That's shepherding. The fifth principle of shepherding to be applied in our homes is setting limits to protect. Setting limits to protect. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." God is with me. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd's main goals are provision and protection. We've already talked about the provision, the green pastures and the still waters, and now we consider protection. David knew that no matter whatever happened in his life, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And God's promise to be with us means that all of his other promises in the scripture will be true too. Life could get as bad as the shadow of death, and still David would be aware of the omnipresent, omnipotent, protecting hand of God so that he would fear no evil. The Christian can have even more confidence because we read the Lord Jesus saying in John chapter 10 and verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Of course we protect our children, of course we do. But mostly we are to teach them not to fear because they can know the Lord and God can be with them. And there is nothing to fear when God is with you. Here's a God who loves and protects us. Now the Israeli shepherd had a sheepfold to protect his sheep at night. And he had his staff, he had his rod, and he had his slingshot by day. The equivalent of the slingshot for Dad was his rifle. It wasn't a shotgun, it was a rifle. And if Dad's rifle was pointing at you, you're in trouble if you're a fox, because he didn't often miss. He had a good eye. But the fences were there. The equivalent of the sheepfold for Dad was the fences. And the fences were there not to hinder the sheep, but to protect the sheep. Dad's property was on the Princes Highway. He had 50-ton semis rattling down at 100 kilometres an hour down that highway. They didn't want to get out of the paddock, otherwise they'd be pancaked lamb chop. And so we protect our children too. So many parents protect their children from artificial colours and food additives, but fail to protect them from the videos and from the games, the video games that they're playing, and bad friends. Sure, go ahead and protect their bodies, but do not neglect to protect their souls. Dad leads the way. First, he protects his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we're quoting this verse again. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel." Now, she may not be the weaker vessel, but she is to be protected as if she were the weaker vessel. Gentle words, gentle hands, men. And parents are to protect their children. Why would parents harm their children like the selfish shepherds of Israel harmed the sheep that were theirs? Ezekiel 34 and verse 4, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Dear parents, fence the paddocks. Fence the paddocks for their protection. You must have fences. You must have standards in your home that are going to protect your children. Limit the use of screens, TV and computer and phones, and limit what is watched on those devices. There is very, very little that is godly on the TV screen. You have godly standards and show your children the dangers of going beyond the standards. So again, this is something that you model and you protect them by making sure they don't watch stuff that is going to harm them. Teach your children to have victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. This will protect their souls. You want them to be able to live victorious Christian lives in the days ahead. Make them aware of the dangers out there. Nurture them till they're strong to be able to stand in the world. The home could be pictured as a hothouse and that little seedling is growing up. One day it's going to be planted out. Make sure that it grows strong in the hothouse of the home so that when it's set out, it will be able to weather the storms that are out there in the world. Protecting is shepherding. The sixth principle of shepherding to be applied to the home is correcting to godliness. Not correcting on whim, correcting to godliness. Correction is mentioned ever so briefly in Psalm 23, but let me say it is crucial. In verse 4, right at the end of verse 4, it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod of God is to comfort, not to hurt, though it may hurt. It's good to be corrected, even if it hurts for a while. God's shepherding rod is explained much more thoroughly in Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read that passage to you. It's so helpful to us as parents. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Not because he's lost it. "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit," and that should be our objective in disciplining our children, "for their profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. It will hurt. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." It can be a painful rod, but God never abuses his children. He always loves us. This is our model. And then when we come to the book of Proverbs, how much the teaching on the rod is amplified there for us. Let me just give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." It's love to discipline. It's love to correct because you want them to turn out right. Proverbs 22 verse 15. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child." We have that human nature, that fleshy nature, which tends towards sin. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." How do we overcome the world and the flesh and the devil? It begins with godly parents who discipline their children. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod is used in love, not anger. You don't beat the daylights out of them. You don't beat them black and blue, as some parents have said to their children. The rod is for correction and not harm. When the rod is used well, the child will know it's for their good, and that will be a comfort to them. "Daddy really cares about me. Daddy cares about the way I turn out." Or mummy, if it's mummy at home. "You shall see the rod saves from sin." Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom." So you'll save your child from much sin in the years ahead if you'll discipline them in love with the rod. There is a firmness and gentleness, a firmness and a gentleness to the rod of God. I remember the way Dad dealt with fly-blown sheep. Now, Dad's sheep didn't often get fly-blown because he did a lot to prevent that. But the instance that I remember was a ram that had been fighting. Do your kids ever fight? Well, this ram had been fighting and had butted its horn and it bled from the horn. And as the blood coagulated, a blowfly had come along and laid its eggs there. And so the maggots hatched and the maggots were eating away at flesh and bone and blood and the wool that was there. Yeah, it's not a pretty picture. Sin's never pretty. The ram was in a bad way and unable to help itself. That's true of sin, isn't it? We need help. We need God's help with sin. Dad treated the ram with firmness and compassion. He wrestled the ram to the ground. He put his knee on the sheep just so that it couldn't get up and struggle because he was going to have to do some surgery here. He got his hand shears and he started clipping the wool. By the way, that picture in your bulletin shows wool being parted and maggots there at the bottom of the wall. Maybe you don't want to look at that picture. But that's the way it is. And that's the problem with sin. So he clips the wool away. He gets the blunt side of his shears and he scrapes out the maggots. So the wound now is clean. And then he gets the medicine and he pours it into the wound. The ram didn't like it. I'd seen mere farmers deal with rams. I've seen them curse and kick sheep that were being ornery. But when I saw Dad, I saw his gentle firmness. He was no ordinary farmer. He was a shepherd. I see that fly-blown ram as a very useful picture of a child in sin. The sin has got to be addressed with the same kind of gentle firmness. There is pain involved, but there's also the ointment of forgiveness. The child confesses, and you forgive them, and you embrace them, and remind them that you love them, and that you've had to discipline them because you want them to turn out right. This is an evidence of your love for them. So, in the restoration of a relationship, it can be so healing. Done well, correction actually improves relationship. We don't correct on whim, we correct to godliness. For God desires a godly seed. Now that's shepherding. And a shepherd is what we as parents want to be. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, it's an awesome task to bring up a child to be godly, to love you, to follow you, to know how to have their soul fed on you, to be satisfied and content and delighted in the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we cannot do this. We come to you this morning and confess as fathers and mothers, we cannot do this. Oh Lord, we need your grace every day. We need your strength and your ability. We need to follow you. Lord, I pray that you burn this image of the shepherd into the minds of our parents and that they would shepherd their children, shepherd a child's heart to godliness. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.